Hare Krishna. Thank you very much for coming this morning for the Srimad Bhagavatam class. This section of the Srimad Bhagavatam contains a very nice dialogue between two very exalted personalities, the personality of the earth, the deity of the earth who has taken the form of a cow, and the personality of religious principles or dharma who has taken the form of a bull. And this conversation goes on between the two of them because both are quite aggrieved because of the situation on the earth. It is interesting that these two personalities have taken the forms of cow, of the cow and the bull. We know from the scriptures that we have seven mothers. The biological mother is just one of them. There is Mother Earth, there is Mother Cow, there is a mother of the wife of the guru, the wife of the king, the wife of the brahmana. So all these are considered mothers of the praja or the citizens of the country. So earth is also one form, one type of mother. So we commonly say Mother Earth. Mother Earth is very aggrieved. Who is a mother? A mother is one who actually nourishes us, who gives us birth, and then she nourishes us. So similarly, Mother Earth has given us birth, given birth to all the living entities in this world, and she continues to nourish us. If Mother Earth did not provide us with all the necessities of existence, we could not have survived. None of these necessities we have produced ourselves. We can only manipulate the materials and facilities that Mother Earth provides us, and then we claim proprietorship over them, or we claim credit that we have produced this. But the fact of the matter is that it is only Mother Earth who provides us everything. And because she is a very worshipable personality for us, we offer all respects to her. In the Vedic culture, one of the important features of offering respect to worshipable personalities is that we don't touch our feet to them. For example, if it's a holy book like the Srimad Bhagavatam, or actually for any book, we don't touch our feet because the book gives us knowledge. Knowledge is something that is respectable. So we wouldn't touch any holy paraphernalia. We would not even touch, what to speak of any holy person, we would do not touch any other person with our feet. And when we touch him with our feet, then we touch our hand to the body and then to our head to indicate that we are asking for forgiveness. So this way, placing our feet on something is not considered very nice, but we have no choice. We have to walk on the earth. We cannot walk like a demigod 6 inches above the ground. So the first thing we do in the morning when we wake up is we remember Krishna. That's what everyone is supposed to do. As soon as we wake up, we chant the prayers. We chant various mantras, nice shlokas glorifying Krishna. And if you can't remember any shlokas or any verses, the best of all is the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, remember Krishna, and we become purified even before we have taken our bath. And the next thing we do after that is, because we're going to get off the bed and place our feet on the earth, so we beg forgiveness from Mother Earth. Vishnu Patni Namastubhyam Kshamasvam. Kramaswami, we are asking for forgiveness. Oh, goddess of the earth, who is the consort of Lord Vishnu? Parvatasthalamanditam, your body is also decorated by the Himalayan mountains. Oh Mother Earth, please forgive me, because now I am going to place my feet on you. You are my mother, a very respectable personality for me. So in the Vedic culture, the mother and father have very respectable positions, and we have to respect them and we have to take care of them till the very end. And offense to them is considered quite a grave thing. So it is quite befitting that Mother Earth has now taken the form of another mother who is also very worshipable, and that is Mother Cow. Because Mother Cow gives us milk. This milk nourishes us. Just as our biological mother gives us milk when we are very small, Mother Cow also gives us milk. But an interesting feature is that our biological mother gives us milk only for a few months of our life. Maybe for a year, maybe a year and a half, maybe 2 years. But Mother Cow gives us milk lifelong. So from the time we are born till the time we die, we can drink the milk of Mother Cow and be happy. Actually, in some cases when mother's milk is not available for some reason, then the best substitute is cow's milk, pure cow's milk. So Mother Earth therefore has taken the form of Mother Cow. And one of the symptoms of this age of Kali is that all respectable personalities will be harassed by the ungodly people of this age. So especially the mothers are aggrieved. The biological mothers and fathers are aggrieved because their children no longer look after them. They leave the elderly parents to fend for themselves in their old age. They don't look after them. And therefore the old elderly people have to either live by themselves or they have to take shelter of old age homes. There was no such concept in the Vedic culture of old age homes. You were either looked after by your children or your grandchildren, or you just departed into the forest, went to a holy place and died a glorious death, unknown, on some path somewhere on the way to a holy place. And such a death was actually considered glorious. So we have come a long way from those ancient days where the culture has turned topsy-turvy. And then again we have the principles of religion, the personification of that, dharma, who has taken the form of a bull. Dharma is also like a father. What does a father do? The father maintains us and protects us. So dharma, or true religion, protects us. And how does dharma protect us? When we follow dharma, then dharma protects us. When we protect dharma, then dharma protects us. Dharmo rakshati rakshitaha. So one protects dharma by following the principles of dharma in our life. And then by so following the principles of true religion, then we become protected. This is our real protection. Of course, on the everyday platform or in everyday situations on the bodily platform of life, we also need protection from thieves and from so many other sources. So we have police, we have the army, we have doctors, and we have so many other categories of people, and they're all necessary for a stable society. But in the ultimate analysis, our real protection is our following of true dharma. Dharma is a very deep word which has many, many meanings. We will not go into that now. Suffice it to say that that in this context, dharma indicates our ultimate religious occupation. And according to the Srimad Bhagavatam, the highest dharma or religious duty of any human being is to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna and develop unalloyed love for Him. So therefore the Bhagavatam says, Savai Pumsam Paro Dharmo Yato Bhakti Radokshaje Ahaituktya Vyavahitaya Yatma Suprasidati. This means that the highest dharma for the human being in this material world and especially on this earth planet is to render unalloyed, uninterrupted devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, by which one can develop pure love for Him. So there can be various categories and levels of dharmas, and this sometimes or often causes confusion to people who are trying to understand the Vedic culture or who are even following the Vedic culture. Sometimes this wide variety of possible religious occupations can be bewildering, but it is all reconciled in the scriptures like the Srimad Bhagavatam, which give us a very comprehensive understanding and a conclusive understanding of what real dharma is. So real dharma is the unalloyed love for the Supreme Lord. So therefore the personification of religion, who protects us, is like a father, and he takes on the form of a bull, because a bull is a father in as much as a cow is a mother. The cow provides us milk and nourishes us, therefore she is mother, as we have mentioned. And why is the bull considered the father? Because he maintains us. How does he maintain us? Because the bull performs many agricultural operations, like the tilling of the field, the plowing, and so on. And from such agricultural operations, we get grains. And from the grains, we nourish our bodies, we maintain our existence. So the bull is like the father. Today, unfortunately, the bull is slaughtered because there is no facility for the bull to live. The bulls have been replaced by mechanized equipment like tractors and so on. So the farmers do not feel the need for a bull. So as soon as a male calf is born, he is sent to the slaughterhouse. And then the female cattle are maintained only till such time as they give sufficient milk. They are then also sent to the slaughterhouse. So this is a culture in which the mother and father both are not protected but sent to the slaughterhouse. So naturally, mother cow and mother bull are both very, very aggrieved. And because their children, the citizens of this earth, are harassing them so much, therefore they come together to share their woes. And here they are revealing their minds to each other, kuhyama khyati prichati, revealing their sorrows to one another. And here, Mother Earth, who has taken the form of the cow, speaks to the bull, the principles of religion, who has taken the form of a bull. And she says that because the burden of the earth was too much for me to bear, because these people were too sinful, too aggressive, too arrogant, the Supreme Personality of Godhead actually appeared to relieve my burden. And so also you have been weakened by these sinful elements. You have four legs, but now you're standing on only one. So the Lord has also appeared to relieve you of all anxiety, of all your difficulties. And as we all know, the four legs on which personified dharma or the bull stands are mercy, austerity, cleanliness and truthfulness. So these are the four pillars of religion, of any religion. These four principles are actually called upadharmas or sub-religious principles. And all the religions of the world, they stand on these four principles. Just as any structure has to have a foundation, or if somebody is playing a very important role, we say, these people are the pillars of this organization. So this way, the four pillars that hold up religion are these four principles. In other words, no religion can be said to be a religion unless it is based upon these four foundational principles. So in that sense, all the major religions of the world have this common feature. So there is a unity in all the diversity in the religions that we find in the world. Of course, the understanding of these four principles may vary to some degree. So when we follow the four regulative principles, which is what Srila Prabhupada asked us all to follow, we actually violate these four principles. And we are going to hear more and more about that as time goes on. So the four regulative principles are there for us because they violate the four principles of religion, the four pillars. The principle of truthfulness, what is that violated by?
Gambling.
By gambling. Because gambling is a speculative exercise. It is an exercise in which we live on a falsehood of me being the enjoyer, a falsehood of trying to get something out of nothing, of trying to quickly, unethically just get more and more money. All the false advertising that goes on to induce us to buy various kinds of attractive products, it's also a form of gambling. Cleanliness is destroyed by illicit sexual activity, which is internally and externally not pure. It is contaminating. Austerity is destroyed by
intoxication.
If you have seen an intoxicated person, you know there's no question of him performing austerity. And then cleanliness, or rather mercy, is destroyed by
meat eating.
Because meat eating involves slaughter of animals. And where there is such slaughter of animals, where is the mercy? So this is the significance of the four regulative principles that we follow. We follow them because they violate the four principles of dharma upon which our Krishna consciousness stands. In and of themselves, following the four regulative principles is not Krishna consciousness. In other words, simply because someone doesn't drink alcohol or doesn't eat meat or doesn't have illicit sex or doesn't gamble and so on, it doesn't mean he becomes a pure devotee. But one cannot become a pure devotee, at least to start with, without following these principles. One has to go beyond. These are just preparatory stages to prepare us to become fixed in the devotional service of the Lord, but in and of themselves, they do not constitute the principles of devotional service. Devotional service means simply to serve Krishna purely, without any material motive and with no interruption. That is a standard of the highest dharma. But in the process of trying to reach that highest dharma, we have to prepare ourselves mentally. Our consciousness has to be molded. When we violate the four regulative principles, then that contaminates our consciousness. and affects our purity, it affects our determination and enthusiasm and intelligence to practice Krishna consciousness. So therefore it is very important that we stay away from any violation of these four regulative principles. Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport that this condition which Mother Cow or Mother Earth and the principle of religion are bemoaning has been caused by various sinful demoniac people who have accumulated a lot of military strength. And because of this military strength, there is unwanted arrogance, confrontation, hostility, war, crime, battles, and so on. And they create havoc on the earth. And then Mother Earth is soaked with the blood of millions and millions of living entities. And Mother Earth becomes extremely aggrieved by this, and she cannot tolerate it. So Lord Krishna descends for many reasons into this material world. And one of the reasons is, of course, Vinashaya Chatushkritam, to reduce the burden of the earth by destroying the miscreants, those who create havoc on the earth by violence, cruelty, mercilessness, and so on. So today we see a spiraling situation, a spiraling rise of weaponization, weapons of mass destruction, weapons of all sorts of destruction. And I heard many devotees are quoting something very apt. They said also weapons of mass destruction, not just mass destruction, which are the military weapons, but also the weapons of mass destruction to distract us from Krishna consciousness. All the modern razzle-dazzle sense gratificatory culture, which is meant to just take our minds away from Krishna and absorb us in sinful life. So this is the demoniac civilization, which is based upon sense gratification, and where there is sense gratification, there will be hostility, there will be aggression, there will be hatred, greed, lust, pride, anger, envy, and so on. So the foundation is sense gratification. If you want to have a happy life, where the people of this world can live together amicably, in harmony, with love, friendship, then we need to have a foundation of Krishna consciousness. And this is what Srila Prabhupada came to give to the world, the greatest gift. So Srila Prabhupada commenced building a house in which the whole world can live together amicably, lovingly, in harmony. What greater gift can there be to this world? And the credit for that should go to Srila Prabhupada, because he gave us the formula. And it's all there in his books, in his teachings, in his institution, in his movement, which is the movement of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. We run out of time. Is there any question? Yes.
Once we have become sort of pseudo devotee or devotee, then why people leave this movement? When it has all the attractions and you are completely free of all the sins and everything, still peace will leave. So what is the main reason? Why should they leave such a wonderful institution? As you said, Prabhupada made a home for everyone, for the whole world. So why did they get out?
So Mahatma Prabhu's question is that if Krishna consciousness is so attractive and nice, then why do people leave once they have come? That's a good question. Somebody asked this to Prabhupada also in the early years of the movement. when everybody started, the young people started flocking to Prabhupada, and many, many of them became staunch devotees, and they were just floating in ecstasy. They were not walking on the ground, they were flying because they were in so much bliss, having encountered Krishna consciousness in their life, and having encountered a pure devotee like Srila Prabhupada. And then life hit them. One devotee left. They could not believe it. They went to Prabhupada and said, "Prabhupada, how is it possible that somebody left the movement? He left Krishna consciousness. Unbelievable." So Prabhupada said, "This is Maya. It is not surprising that somebody leaves in this world of Maya. It is surprising that someone stays." So those who stay back are glorious. Of course, even those who leave, having performed devotional service for some time, are also glorious because they did serve Krishna for some time at least. And even if they leave and go into some form of sinful activity, that forgetfulness will not continue for too long. Krishna will bring them back, if necessary, pull them back by their hair and get them back to his lotus feet. That's why we keep the shikha, you know. In case we move and Krishna, "Hey, where are you going? Come back here to me. Where do you think you are going? Come. Come back to my lotus feet." Yes, so this world of Maya is very strong. The weapons of mass distraction are also very powerful. So we have to be careful. We have to live in the association of devotees, associate as much as possible with devotees, follow the program that Srila Prabhupada outlined for us, hearing, chanting, worshipping, studying, taking on the prasadam, avoiding the association of non-devotees as much as possible, and so on. Then we will be protected. One last question, if anyone has.
And dharma is followed scrupulously, this maya can be suppressed to a very greater extent. And everyone will be peaceful.
Yes.
That is my understanding.
Yes. When dharma is followed scrupulously, then maya can be suppressed. Yes. Then maya can be kept at bay. And that dharma means the topmost dharma. Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam raja. So abandon all other dharmas, just accept this one dharma, which is complete surrender to Lord Krishna's lotus feet. So if we follow this, then we can cross over the ocean of Maya. Devihi esha gunamayi mama mayam durateya mam evai prapadyante mayam etam tarantite. Lord Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that this Maya is like an unsurpassable ocean, impossible to cross over. But for one who takes shelter of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, it becomes very easy to cross over the obstacle posed by Maya. In other words, taking shelter of Krishna and trying to continue his devotional service with enthusiasm and purity, that is the way to keep Maya at bay. Okay, so thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Go Premanande. Hare Krishna.
Jai.